Welcome to another broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We bring gospel clarity in an anti-Christian age, making known the riches of Christ to the nations. Today on the show, we're continuing our study in Matthew chapter 9 on fasting.
The old order, the old covenant, the old priesthood did not actually bring in the forgiveness of sins. That was the whole point of Hebrews. Hebrews says, "For when the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed also." The priesthood just changed, and a better hope is introduced. The hope by which we draw near to God. That's what Hebrews says.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Old garments are worn out, says Jesus. You know this. This is why we get mad with clothes in America, because you wash them once, and if you buy cheap, you're going to pay for it. You know that. You know that. So you got to spend a little more to get good clothing today, don't you? I've just helped all the women in the church, so the husbands are not mad. None of that was in my notes, so. Old garments are worn. You've washed them. You've shrunk them. No one takes a patch, an unshrunk patch, a brand new patch, and sews it to the old garment, because that patch, when it shrinks, it'll pull away and make the tear worse. Very simple. And he makes the same point with wine. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins, for if it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, so both are preserved. It's the same point. They would take the skins of goats or sheep, and they'd form out of a bottle, and they'd make the bottle so that the wine would hold. If you put new wine into old skins, when the wine ferments, it needs leather, so that when it expands, if the leather is old and the leather cracks, the wine spills out everywhere. So he needs new wine and new skins. What's he talking about? Very simple. I'm bringing in something entirely new. I'm not patching up the old. I'm not giving new wine in old skins. I'm not patching up an old garment. He's talking about the new covenant. Remember what he said when he instituted the supper to just prove that Jesus spoke like this? This cup, the cup that is poured out, is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant in my blood. We see it in everything that he's doing. Everything the law and the prophets looked for has now come, as sinners are coming directly to him. And remember in Isaiah, when he was preaching and they handed him a scroll and he read this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim," I think this is good news here, "good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolls it up and he hands it back. He says, "That's me. I'm fulfilling it all. Today has come." The old order, the old covenant, the old priesthood did not actually bring in the forgiveness of sins. That was the whole point of Hebrews. And their ministries were not accomplishing this. Their ministries were not accomplishing this. They had only built a system. Now, John got it. There's no doubt what John understood. But they had built a system of man-made laws around the law that had set nobody free. That's what he's reacting to. Fasting was proof. Gloominess, before the presence of the bridegroom? How's that even possible? It's completely incompatible with the ministry that he's bringing if it's a ministry of reconciliation. And that's precisely the tie to the next scenes. Notice how Matthew puts it together. He puts these two stories together of these two women, a young girl, you'll notice here, an older woman. Young girl dies, the older woman impure, to make the very point that Jesus just made. I'm not patching up the old. Notice carefully verse 18. I should say, when I say old and new, I'm speaking of all the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. So that the continuity we looked at in Hebrews is that all the fulfillment of those promises made to Abraham are now coming to realization as the gospel is going out. But notice, just as the introduction of this, while he was saying these things, while he was giving this little parables, these two little parables about the new covenant, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him saying, my daughter has just died. Come lay your hand on her and she'll live. Now, Jesus faces in the ministry what should be one of the most surprising moments so far early on. This is a death. Does he have the power over death? Now, he's directly faced with death. His statement in the presence of the bridegroom, there's no mourning, there's joy, is now put to the test immediately, right? See the connection? There is nothing that brings greater sorrow in this life than the death of your child and that of a young girl. That's a most difficult death. If the bridegroom's present, there's no reason for mourning. Matthew wants you to see the connection. As soon as this man, Jairus, we know from Mark, comes up, verse 19 doesn't quite capture it. You notice what verse 19 says. And Jesus rose and followed him. No, it was up. The way that this is described in the original was, it was an immediate spring to action. There was no hesitancy. There was no waiting. There was no thought up. Now, you know the accounts weave together another story here of a woman who we read had a flow of blood for 12 years. She was ceremonially unclean. The flow of blood, when a woman, this is Leviticus, has a regular flow of blood, the impurity of her monthly period will last 7 days. And anyone who touches her will be unclean until evening. There's a lot of attention given to this. It's the most obviously uncomfortable stuff to preach, but important. She had a constant flow for 12 years. This is the height of uncleanness in the Old Testament. Okay? There's so much attention given to this in Leviticus. Death and impurity. Notice here, you have death and impurity put together. Old Testament law, no one shall defile himself. Leviticus again, that is, become ceremonially unclean for the dead among his people by touching a corpse or assisting in its burial even. You shall not approach any dead person nor defile himself by doing so. This is talking about the priest now. Shall not approach any dead person nor defile himself for his, even for his father or for his mother. Okay. Something beautiful happens here. Just like the paralytic, she says to herself, within herself, if only I touch the fringe of his garment. What we just talk about? Patching garments? If only I touch the fringe of his garment, I'll be made well. Jesus just said, I'm not coming to patch my work onto old garments. His point was that everything, the garment and the patch would be made new. There was a little square on the bottom of his robe where a tassel, a patch would have been sewn and a tassel would hang from it. What she touched was important. Numbers 15, speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout their generations to come to you, you are to make tassels on the corner of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at so you will remember the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourself by chasing after the lusts of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God. What a scene. The woman comes up by faith alone, and says, if I just touch the hem, the little corner, the tassel of his garment, I'll be made whole. Mark says, once she did this, immediately the blood dried up and she was healed. Whatever just happened, think about this. Who this is so powerful and so pure and so holy that whatever he decides to come in contact with automatically becomes cleansed and not the other way around. The new had just come. And what does he do for her? Just like the paralytic, he says, take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well. It was much more than just healing, if we understand what happened with the paralytic. Your sins, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. She was just saved and healed, all in one. She was forgiven, she was made new. Hebrews says, for when the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed also. The priesthood just changed. He says, the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. Who does? The priest. And a better hope is introduced. The hope by which we draw near to God. That's what Hebrews says. That's what just happened. She drew near to God with a better hope. The law didn't make perfect. Jesus does. She drew near to the priest of the new covenant, the high priest. She was made new. She was told by him, take heart, be happy, rejoice. You're healed. Now back to the other scene to confirm this. Verse 23. When Jesus came to the rulers of the house, he saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion. This was a scene of great mourning. They'd play flutes and solemn songs, and everyone would have been fasting. So you have mourning and you have fasting. The flute players, songs of mourning, he walks in, everyone's wailing. For Jairus, I can't imagine seeing my little girl there. Jesus says, go away, for she's not dead, but she's sleeping. Amazingly, these same mourners can so quickly laugh at him, huh? What Jesus just meant was, just like Lazarus, this sickness is not unto death. He put them outside, and he goes in, and he takes her by the hand, and the little girl arose, and the report went out everywhere. Matthew records this briefly, but don't miss what just happened. Jesus had just said, in the presence of the bridegroom, there's no reason to mourn. You mean even in the face of death? He just reversed it. And you see, he's illustrated everything he said when he said that. There's no reason to mourn. We have intense moments of sorrow in this life. The fasting and the mourning in the big picture, I want to say to you today, beloved, was aimed at this great moment in history. The fulfillment of all mourning and the fulfillment of all fasting. Think of all the mourning and all the sorrow that we have. The fulfillment, the aim of that was answered for us when God put his son on the cross. When he was taken away in judgment, when he stood in the place and received what we should have received, and then God raised him from the dead, God published to the ends of the earth an entire new covenant ministry that the time of mourning, the intended time of mourning, would be for a short time in the cross event, and then after in the resurrection, it would mean life for us. A little while, said Jesus, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Did you hear that? The new covenant ministry that is being ministered to us is not a gloomy ministry. It's not a ministry under the law for condemnation. It's a ministry of forgiveness. It's a ministry of cleansing. It's a ministry because Christ is risen. He has promised us something very special in the new covenant ministry. What is it? I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And at the close of Matthew, he left us with those very words. Lo, I am with you always to the close of this age, by the work of the Spirit. No matter what we face then in this life, to draw this to a conclusion, no matter death that we encounter, no matter the sorrow that sin brings, no matter how much we are afflicted, no matter how much we sense, because as the law exposes sin, condemnation, he has come to us. He fulfilled all mourning. And he rose. And he dealt with our sorrows. And when you come in faith, and you believe these promises, he wants you to know, Not even death separates us from that love. Even the death of the saints, Psalm 116, is precious in his sight. Why? Why would he say that? Because God's not the God of the dead, but of the living. They're living. They're living. They're not dead. This is the promise. That's what he reversed. Abraham's not dead. Abraham's very alive today. He's with the Lord. So are all his children. This is the joy he wants us to have. And that whatever sickness, whatever sorrow that may lead unto death, the resurrection will reverse it all. That's his promise. Something we enjoy today because he's risen indeed. Sorrow comes in the night, but joy comes in the morning. You are told today to have joy. Well, there's two groups here. That's my final question. There's two groups here. Those who have no joy, they're disfiguring their faces. They don't sing. Then there are those who know that grace and truth, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This is what the ministry is intended to bring to you, that you might have joy and that you might have it to the fullest. It's not an artificial face on the opposite end that you have to wear around like the Pharisees who had a painted, disfigured face. You don't have a painted, joyful face. That's not what he's asking. He's asking for that confidence, that happiness, that peace, that by faith in him, he's answered all our sorrow. That's what's being ministered to us. You say, well, should I fast? Well, how about this from Hebrews as the answer? Therefore, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of what? Praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. That's what he's after. Take heart, he says today. Do you believe? I've made you well. You are forgiven. You will rise from the dead. That promise drives us through this age until he comes again in glory and we drink anew with him in the kingdom. But until then, remember, lo, he said, I am with you always to the close of the age. Let no one take you and take from you, said Paul, the joy the gospel should bring and rob you of that happiness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for so glorious a ministry, and thank you for giving us forgiveness and cleansing and washing as we come directly to the high priest. Thank you for a ministry of joy and happiness. Thank you for taking all of our tears, which ultimately on that day will be wiped away forever. Because in your presence, Psalm 16, there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Bless your people with this as they struggle through this life with this perspective that the bridegroom is with us and ultimately we will behold him soon face to face, where there will never be again any of these sorrows or tears or sin or sickness or death. We praise you for such promises in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, friends, we thank you for spending this time with us today. As always, we hope to see you here next time with Pastor Chris Gordon on Abounding Grace Radio. To learn more about us, visit agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There you'll find a variety of resources, including our weekly podcast, which airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube, Spotify, and X. You can also access past radio broadcasts, blog articles, devotions, and additional sermons from Pastor Chris. For updates and news, be sure to join our newsletter, available right on the website. An emailed newsletter is still one of the best ways to stay connected with an organization. If you'd like to get in touch, the best way to do that is through social media. We're active on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and more. You can find all the links to our profiles directly on our website. We also have a contact email that's questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. So if you have a question or feedback or you just want to connect, we'd love to hear from you. After all, we are looking to build a community of active listeners who share in our passion for sound biblical teaching. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and your financial support is vital to helping us continue this work. Faithful partners like you make it possible for us to share the gospel every day. If you've been encouraged by what we do, would you consider partnering with us? You can do that by visiting our website and clicking the donate button to make a secure gift of any amount. We're preparing new resources and outreach opportunities to help spread the gospel and strengthen the community of listeners. It's the generous support of people like you that make this all possible. Have a praise report or a word of encouragement? We'd love to hear it, and so would our listeners. Just grab your phone, record a 5 to 10 second audio clip, and send it to us at media@agradio.org. That's media@agradio.org. By sending your clip, you're granting us permission to use it on the air. It's a simple way to share what God is doing in your life and maybe even hear yourself on a future broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited to hear what you might have to share.
Abounding Grace Radio and many of our guests on this program are affiliated with the United Reformed Church of America. If you find yourself in the Escondido area, you are invited to attend worship where Pastor Chris Gordon is our pastor. We're located at 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. Morning service begins at 9:30, adult Sunday school at 10:45, evening service at 5 p.m. Visit escondidourc.org for details and direction. That's escondidourc.org. A reflection of the United Reformed Churches of America, we at Abounding Grace have an emphasis on supporting local churches that are in concert with the URC. One of our churches can be found right here in Ventura. Ventura Reformed Church is located at 78 Chrisman Avenue here in Ventura. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. with our catechism class starting at 9:30. Details, directions, and further info can be found at christreformed.org. That's christreformed.org.